Welcome back to Brief and Not So Brief. I'm Seth.
I'm Ethan.
And this time we are going to be doing our 2019 top 10 kind of favorite list. So it's been a little while since we did this, since basically Ethan's birthday in August. You know, school and swimming and holidays and all that kind of stuff, and Ethan's general unwillingness to record podcasts. So Ethan actually had the idea to do an end of the year ranking kind of thing. We looked at it, and how many movies did we watch, quote, together?
22. And that includes Netflix, theaters. Yeah. Actually, yeah, just Netflix and theaters, no other streaming services.
Okay. And when we say together, we mean that either we went to it together or watched it, you know, together, or we both watched it at separate times.
The only time that we watched it separately was like one day apart for a couple of movies, but we both watched them.
Yeah. But most of these are ones that we saw in the theater, and we'll point it out, kind of where, if we watched it together or if it was a separate kind of thing, and if it was on Netflix or in theaters. So the way the list, I think, should work is... it's probably better to have the person who likes the movie better talk about it, or at least lead the conversation. So we'll start from 10 and go to 1. But if your 10 is higher up on my list, then we'll wait to discuss it until we get to mine.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I'm curious how different the lists are going to be, because 22 movie... I guess that's the other thing to talk about, right? We're not just pulling for our lists from that, because there were other movies that I saw, because this year I watched something like 103 films. Mm-hmm. And there are movies that you saw that I didn't see as well. And so we can pull from those as well. Okay. So you want to start with your number 10?
My number 10 is a Netflix movie. It's El Camino, which is a Breaking Bad film. I really enjoyed this one. I'm a pretty big fan of the show. I only watched it about 2 years ago. Nice. I remember we started it, and then we kind of just agreed that I could just kind of continue on my own just because you'd already seen it all. So I downloaded all Breaking Bad, enjoyed it. And then once I heard this movie was coming out, I was like, hey, you know, I'm more into film now. This will be a little fun to enjoy with all three of us. So you, me, and Mom, I'll watch it together here at home. And I thought that the acting was great. I'm always a big fan of any kind of music or anything that comes from Breaking Bad. So having some themes come back and some stuff was a lot of fun to see. I think that... Jesse is a pretty iconic character.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed Aaron Paul's portrayal of him, just seeing him back in an acting role. I think he should get a lot more roles, honestly. And so it was fun to see him. Jesse Plemons also.
Yeah. He's a national treasure. Jesse Plemons. I do. I love that guy.
And so, I thought it was really great how they handled basically taking something that was relatively unnecessary and still taking it, making something out of it that you maybe are like, okay, you know, I didn't need that, but it was still enjoyable, and kind of end at the same spot you were with just more knowledge. Because, you know, at the end of Breaking Bad, I guess, spoiler for Breaking Bad, you know, he obviously gets away in the El Camino. And at this, he's kind of driving away a free man, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so it's a similar ending, but it's just like, there's more behind this one because you understand more of what he had to go through. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good stuff. I don't have much to add to that. I really enjoyed it. And like you said, probably unnecessary, but I'm still glad we got it.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that we didn't know that it was coming for very long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it just came out.
Well, I saw some interviews with Aaron Paul, like Vince Gilligan, and apparently the whole thing was pretty much Vince wrote a story for him multiple times. It was kind of, I don't know if I want to do it. Mm-hmm. Eventually got it out and was like, I think this is pretty good. I think we should do it. And so I respect him a lot for not just doing something because he knew it would be popular, but doing something because he knew it was going to be good. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to satisfy the fans, which I think it really did.
Yeah. Okay. So my number 10 is Joker.
Wow.
Yeah. So my bottom three are, I put still under review, where like I can recognize there's good stuff in them, but I'm not sure exactly where they rank. Mm-hmm. So Joker is tentatively my number 10. Because when we were talking about it yesterday, I was looking up my Letterboxd reviews, and I noticed that I had given it a 2.5 stars.
Yeah, put it really low.
Well, that's not a top 10 list movie.
Yeah.
But I've thought about it and talked about it enough after watching it that it has raised it in my estimation. Mm-hmm. Do you have it further up your list?
I do.
You do? Okay. So let's suspend the rest of the talk until we get to yours.
Yeah. And we can kind of... Because I know we both definitely have different opinions.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what we have later in the episode.
All right. So make sure to remind me if that happens.
Yes, I will.
Okay. So you're number nine.
Number nine. I have Richard Jewell, which actually you have not seen. Mm-hmm. I saw this a couple weeks ago with my coach, actually. We were done with a swim meet. We had nothing to do for the night. And then I was like, hey, you want to go see a movie? He's like, yeah, I love movies. So went ahead and found something out that was out. We had both already seen some of the movies that were other options. And so we figured go see Richard Jewell. And so I was already interested in it because I had seen the trailers, some promotional stuff. There's generally some good buzz about the acting, and you know, I'm all good for a good movie. And so I went to it. I was pleasantly surprised. I knew that it was going to be a little dark, interesting. And I actually didn't know the true story because this happened before I was born, but I still knew about the event, but I was kind of curious to see what happened from, you know, Clint Eastwood's point of view. And so I really liked this one. It was definitely, it's not perfect. Obviously it's number nine, so it's not perfect, but I thought there were some stuff that was really good, some stuff that I was like, okay, not a huge fan of that, but I still really appreciated the acting for the main character, Richard. And I was most impressed by Sam Rockwell's, he plays the lawyer in the movie. And I think that he is definitely, at least in my opinion, in the running for a Best Supporting Actor Oscar this year. I really thought that he was phenomenal. And so just kind of them two and their interactions really carried the movie for me. But then also just for me, learning a little bit more about history and this kind of stuff was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. So we're on to my number nine.
Yes.
My number nine, I have Uncut Gems, which we just saw yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one that takes some processing.
Yeah.
I presume you don't have it further up your list.
Uncut Gems is not on my list.
Okay. Yeah. It... I think I liked it better than you did. Obviously I did because it's on my list. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil it at all, other than to say it's a madcap movie. Mm-hmm. Extremely stressful. Like, I came out of that movie with a tension headache because of the decisions that this guy was making. And you know, essentially he's a reprobate gambler and just is going from one parlay to another bet to pawning something to taking that cash from the pawn that, of course, he needs to get that thing back, so he has to pay back, and then he bets that, and yeah, it's just, it's crazy. The dialogue is interesting because it's all very layered, because people are just shouting at each other and talking over each other the whole time.
Which makes it very realistic because it doesn't seem scripted.
Right.
And it seems more like they just caught this on camera, which I will say is interesting. But I was getting a little frustrated because I was trying really hard to listen to specific characters because I knew, like, okay, I don't really need to listen to these background characters. I'm trying to listen to Lakeith, Garnett, you know, and Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm just trying to listen to all three of them, like, what is going on, you know? Yeah, yeah. And so it took a little bit of processing. But was...
So anyhow, I think I enjoyed it more than you did.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to see it again.
Yeah.
So it's an uncomfortable movie experience. So, all right. You're number eight.
My number eight, I have John Wick 3.
Okay. I have that one further up. So let's wait on mine.
For sure.
Okay.
All right.
So then my number eight is one that you haven't seen yet. The Irishman, which we watched, Elaine and I watched on Netflix. Your mom and I watched. We did the miniseries version of it where we watched it in installments over three nights. And that worked out pretty well for us just because we're not going to sit down and watch a 3.5 hour movie most of the time. It is good. I will say that in terms of gangster movies, you know, I like The Godfather 1 and 2, but I don't really like that many gangster type movies. And I've never been a huge Scorsese fan. And I know that, you know, it's heresy as a film fan to say that you don't really care for Scorsese stuff. And I'm not sure what it is about his. I did like The Departed, but like Goodfellas, I watched it and I'm like, it's really good, but I didn't really like it. And so this one, the story is interesting. The performances are good. The highlight for me was Joe Pesci. I thought he was amazing. Very different from your typical Joe Pesci performance, which you probably haven't seen him in many things.
I know of him, but I definitely haven't seen
him. You've probably only seen him in like Home Alone from when you were younger. But yeah, it was good stuff and good enough to make the list.
Yeah. Okay. So my number seven is actually only two of the movies on my list are superhero movies, which I think is, for me, I'm happy about because it is nice to have something other than just the typical mainstream you know, adaptations or sequels. Mm-hmm. So my number seven is Shazam.
Okay.
Which...
I have that further up.
You have that further up? Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to say really quickly that this is, one, probably my favorite DCEU movie. Two, is just probably the funnest movie on my list.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say that because it is remarkable.
we'll get to it. I have that at six.
You have that at six.
So,
okay.
And yeah, we'll talk more about that one. Mm-hmm. So my number seven, and this one you may have further up, mm-hmm. is Avengers Endgame.
Okay. I have that at six. So we just switched them.
Oh, sweet. So
we should talk about both of them right now.
Yeah. Let's
yeah, just, so just to clear it up, my seven is Shazam. My number six is Endgame. Mm. And then yours is... seven Endgame, six Shazam.
Yes.
So we'll just talk about both of them as and the next two.
The other thing I want to talk about, I kind of had tiers in my in my rankings, and this middle tier is just mostly on enjoyment, right? Where it's not necessarily about the artistic merit, it's mostly about what the movie made me feel, how the experience was. Mm-hmm. And so you want to talk about Avengers, so why don't you go ahead and lead off with that, and then we'll talk about Shazam.
The thing that I talked to, so I saw this movie with my dad, but then I also saw it with like seven of my best friends who are all my age.
Yes.
Just seven or eight dudes just in the back of the theater. And I was talking to my dad about this. Like, this is kind of his Return of the Jedi from when he was a kid.
Yes.
And so, you know, this is kind of an iconic moment because when, you know, back in 2000, this stuff wouldn't have been even comprehensible, you know?
No.
And so now that we're here and it's almost like I grew up with the stuff and then we're having this conclusion was really emotionally satisfying. Mm-hmm. And I think my rating came down a little bit from when I saw it because I was so incredibly excited when I came out of that theater because one, I was with all my best friends who were all just like, oh my goodness, blah, 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 you know, just shouting about our favorite moments. Mm-hmm. But then also just realizing that so much work was put into it, which I have a lot of respect for. And so, you know, while it has some issues, the amount of emotion that it made me feel, the amount of insane comic book moments that I almost cried at because I was like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And them, this is stupid, but Korg, my favorite Marvel character being in it, made me so happy. I wasn't sure if he was going to come back and he did. So, you know, just a combination of a lot of things just turned this into a really... really fun theater experience, and then also just a ton of respect for the directors and the screenwriters, and specifically the casting director and just everyone that was involved with it. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, it's an accomplishment. It was an accomplishment. I remember writing in a review about Avengers when it came out that this movie should not work, right? Because you had so many characters, and this is in Avengers.
And six characters, yeah.
Yeah. And so the fact that Avengers Endgame is even remotely comprehensible is amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's satisfying emotionally. I feel like they pulled off most of what they tried to do. I have some quibbles about some of the time travel stuff.
Yeah, but it's hard not to.
Yeah. And ultimately, I think I prefer Infinity War.
I agree. I've come to agree with that.
But still, it was an amazing experience in the theater. And there's some moments in there that are just, you know, give you the chills.
Yeah.
And very, very cool. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing, when we were talking with your guy friends after the movie, and I'm like, what did you think of the Chicks Rule moment, you know, in there? And I'm like, it's a little on the nose, isn't it? And I'm like, but it was still awesome. And one of your buddies were like, plus it was super hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good. So, yeah. My number six, Shazam. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a DC guy than a Marvel guy.
I've been raised to appreciate DC more. Yeah. And so I still hold my ground when people are like Marvel, DC. I will still stay DC just because I've been raised that way.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff that they will never be able to take away as Marvel fans from the DC universe. So I have to agree with you there.
I grew up watching, there was a Shazam cartoon. There was a live action Shazam show when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And so I've read them in comics and that kind of stuff kind of all my life, except in that there was like a 20-year period where I didn't read comics at all. But one of the comics that I read just a few years ago that I really enjoyed was the New 52 Shazam. Mm-hmm. And this movie pulls almost directly from that run. And you, like you said, it's just super fun. It's happy. It's not dark. You know, it's got a great message about family in it, that family is, you know, what you decide it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, we like Zachary Levi because we're huge fans of Chuck. We've watched it, two or three times?
I think that's probably I didn't know that many people knew about Chuck, but when I was doing research, everybody's like, I'm only here because of Chuck, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I was really happy to see him appear.
Yeah.
And I did like the family message. I felt like the parents were actually great in it, mm-hmm. Which was awesome to see just because it made me feel like warm inside.
Yeah.
And so I loved that part. But then also I did think that I was a little worried about the humor. It was going to be too kiddish and stuff. But some of the stuff was just downright hilarious.
Yeah.
And so extremely enjoyable theater experience. Mm-hmm. Both Avengers and Shazam, some of the best times I've had in the theater in my life. Yeah. So,
all right. You're number...
Number five. Yeah. Yes. I have Toy Story 4. Do you have this one on your list?
I have it in my honorable mentions.
Okay. Yeah. So I remember I probably watched the Toy Story stuff when I was a little younger.
Much younger.
Just because it was... obviously, it came out when I was really young or before I was born.
The first couple of them, I think, came out before you were
before born. Before 2000, I think.
Yeah.
And so, I had seen all three, but I didn't really remember, like, really the meat of those stories. But once we got to the beginning of the movie and started, everything kind of came back to me. And so, I think this is probably, even though it's a little low, not low, it's in the middle, I think it's probably one of the best movies when it comes to the characters, the plot, the script, and that kind of stuff. The only reason that it's a little further down is just because the other ones were, just for me, more enjoyable. And so I do think this is a phenomenal movie. I don't really know how to kind of put it into words just because it is such a far difference from when we saw Toy Story 3 when I was younger to now.
Yeah.
But it's really similar to El Camino for me because it was like, it wasn't really necessary because they quote unquote ended it perfectly in Toy Story 3. But then at the end of this one, it made me really happy just because you like, I'm like, why am I feeling emotion for toys?
Right.
You know, like I keep on asking myself that. I'm like, I know that it's supposed to make you feel this, but it's just a toy, you know, and it makes me like mad why I was getting so emotional. But I think that they really handled it perfectly, and I've never been a huge fan of animated stuff, but my goodness, it looked beautiful.
Yeah.
It was insane. It looks amazing. And that also made me extremely happy and a ton of respect for all the animated directors.
Yep. Yeah, good stuff. All right, we're on to my five?
Yes.
Okay, so now we're on to John Wick.
Okay.
John Wick 3. This is one that we saw together. I guess we didn't mention with the other ones that we did see Shazam in the theater together on opening night.
We saw that one early.
That's right. We got preview tapes.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And we saw John Wick, Shazam, Avengers Endgame, and Toy Story.
Yeah. And Uncut Gems, but it wasn't on
yet. Yes. And then some further up the list, but we won't get there yet.
So John Wick 3, we've done an entire review on this movie.
Yes.
So we don't need to belabor it. You know, to me, it's the third best of of the movies, of the John Wick movies, but it was still just
insane.
A kick in the pants. Yeah. So let's not dwell over long on that one.
Yeah.
So you're number four.
Number four, I have Knives Out.
Okay.
More of a recent release.
I have that one further up.
You have that one further up? Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll wait on that one then. So number four for you.
So my four is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Which you haven't seen. Which
I have not. It makes me really mad, you know, because that's totally something that I would hope to see.
Yeah.
But
Mom and I went when
I was at a meet or something.
Yeah.
Because remember you were saying you want to go see it, but then I went to a meet and then you're like, oh, we saw it over the weekend.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this is, I mean, it's really good. It's very compelling. It's an interesting take on the Manson family stuff, even though that's sort of at a, you know, there's a little bit of a tangent there. There's a scene that is just one of the most tense scenes I've seen this year in that movie that I don't want to spoil. You know, Brad Pitt and Leo are both incredible in it. Margot Robbie is just like a ray of sunshine in that movie. And yeah, so I really liked it.
Yeah. I've seen some stuff about it. I watch a lot of interviews with directors and stuff because I think it's really interesting. And I know that Tarantino, I watched something about this and he got the idea from just being a director and seeing the interactions between a stuntman and an actor. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was really interesting how he just like got that from such a simple concept and kind of blew it up into life. And so I thought it was, I haven't seen it, but I've heard really good things about it.
Now, so in this top tier of mine from four all the way up to one, it's more about like the film itself.
Right? Yeah.
Like the artistic merit of it, plus my enjoyment of it.
Yeah, for sure. So number three for me.
You're number three.
Yeah. So I have Marriage Story.
I do,
which is on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I, this is a, I just, the acting. It's incredible.
It is.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this movie that makes it incredible, but I mean, when you have two actors who everyone is saying will get nominated for Oscars, like I know the Oscar thing is just like, it gets talked about a lot and sometimes people get snubbed and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But there are such good performances in this movie between Scarlett and Adam. And for me, I've seen Adam in just Star Wars and I feel like there's one, Black Klansman.
Right.
And some other things. And so I knew that in Star Wars, you know, he was cool and he was good. Mm-hmm. But then Black Klansman came. I loved him. And this, he's not a character.
No.
He just the embodiment of this person. Mm-hmm. And I thought that, you know, for me, from a kid, I mean, I'm 18, but I still put myself in the perspective of both the kid being torn between his mom and his dad, but then also the parents kind of wanting to love each other, but then also wanting their kid.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very sad, but it's also a love story. Mm-hmm. And so, honestly, all I can say is that it was riveting because of the acting. There's going to be an argument scene in a divorce movie, but the one in this movie, it's insane.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't really say much more about it just because I think that everyone should experience this movie and that you should just see it for yourself because it is phenomenal.
Yeah. When you talk about the acting, right, all the lauds are going appropriately to Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver because they're both amazing. And, you know, I haven't seen Scarlett Johansson in that many things where I thought, wow, she was incredible. Mm-hmm. The voice performance she did in Her was amazing. Mm-hmm. But this, for me, like, she was the revelation here. Because I'm already I've got a man crush on Adam Driver.
Yeah.
I think he's terrific. Mm-hmm. But when you go out to the side characters, too, like, Ray Liotta is really good
as
the lawyer. And Laura Dern's incredible.
I know.
Even, like, the little bit part of Merritt Weaver playing her Scarlett Johansson's sister, who's supposed to serve him with the papers.
Yeah, that scene was actually really funny.
She's somebody I really like as well.
The other thing, this was kind of funny, but every single time I see Adam Driver walk around, just with his wide stance, I see Kylo. Mm-hmm. And so it was just, I've seen so many things out there like, oh, Kylo and Black Widow fighting and stuff. Yeah, and so I think that it is really interesting because I watched some interviews and stuff. This script was actually written after they cast them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that truly shows why this is so incredible because it had kind of, the story was based upon the actor's capabilities. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was awesome by the, I can't remember. I know, I can't say the name. Noah Bombouche.
Bombeck.
Yeah. But he was a phenomenal, did a phenomenal job there. And so, you know, a lot of great stuff, but just shocking.
Yeah. Honestly. It's kind of heavy and kind of sad. And it will make you feel emotions.
Yeah, for sure.
So that covered both our threes. So we're back to you for two.
Number two, The Art of Self-Defense.
That's mine as well.
Number two. So this is another one of my most enjoyable films this year, but also I think is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It is so weird.
Yeah.
But so incredible and so funny.
Yeah.
And it's a dark comedy and kind of a drama. And, you know, Jesse Eisenberg, he has some roles where I'm like, okay, you should not be in this movie. And some roles where I'm like, you could not have chosen a better actor.
Yeah.
I think this is his role. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that looking back on movies in a couple of years, this will be like the role I think of as basically the thing that was written for him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know if many people have seen this one.
Right.
Because it is more of an indie film. So if you don't know what it's about, Jesse Eisenberg plays this very timid, feminine guy who gets beat up going to the grocery store.
Right.
And he is like, okay, I need to be able to protect myself. So he eventually tries to get a gun, but he can't get the gun immediately. So he goes to learn karate. Mm-hmm. And so once he starts to learn karate, a lot of sketchy stuff happens. And I don't want to spoil the ending because I think you should experience this, but it just goes down so many layers of stuff. I'm like, what is going on? You know, it's just so insane. And I think you have a little bit to say about kind of the message of the film, but it's incredible.
I mean, we talked about this in an episode earlier, yeah, right? And so we don't need to belabor it. But yeah, it's quirky. It's strange. It's very funny in places. There's a couple moments, like I said in the review before, where like it's not the kind of thing that gives you a belly laugh, but it makes you go, that was clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an enjoyable movie. Mm-hmm. So
for sure.
And it's the kind of movie that I feel like I wish we got more of these and fewer of the big, stupid blockbusters.
Yeah, for sure. So. Just because this is completely original, and this is something that I definitely will rewatch, for sure.
Okay, so we have different number ones.
And I believe yours is Knives Out.
Mine is Knives Out.
Yours is Knives Out.
We'll do yours first.
Mine is actually Joker.
Okay.
So, for me, like, my favorite type of movie is a dark, suspenseful thriller, drama, kind of in that genre. And obviously, this very well fits it. But I don't like to think of this as a DCU EU movie. And it isn't. Right. But I don't like to think of it as a superhero film. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple issues I have with this one. But for me, I've grown to love aspects of the film, such as score and cinematography. Mm-hmm. Those are the two I look at the most. And for me, I feel like the score in this film, I think, is the best this year. Mm. I love it. I think that even though Joaquin was phenomenal, I think that is the thing I think should be the most well-recognized as the score. Mm-hmm. And I obviously, like I just mentioned, Joaquin is incredible. He definitely, for me, rivals Heath. Mm. He is a different kind of Joker. But like I said, I don't want to think of it as a Joker. I see this as just a tortured person.
Yeah.
And which is why I wish at the end they didn't have to tie in the whole Batman thing.
Right.
If they did, I wish they had just killed all of them. That sounds really dark, but mm-hmm. I wish they had completely said, we're not going to go down the route of this is a Batman movie. We're going to completely tie this into a different universe. Mm-hmm. And so I did have some issues, but I was riveted from the beginning to end. I was not sure what was going to happen at any second. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the one thing. It kept me guessing. I was trying to think of like, okay, what's going to happen? But I also tried to stay in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are multiple scenes in this movie that are better than the best scenes in other great films, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not only is Joaquin great, but I think that the other support, Robert De Niro, is actually really mm-hmm. solid in it.
Yeah.
But there are some other characters that, you know, it was funny, but it was incredibly dark. And when I say dark, I mean it is insanely dark.
Yeah.
Which almost bothered me a little bit because it was so just, it was like I got stabbed after the end of the movie.
Right.
Because it was so insane. But there's just something that it's hard to put to words that I just respect so much about the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not a movie you enjoy. This is a movie you appreciate. You know, if you enjoy if you enjoy a psychopath who goes around and murders multiple people,
right?
That's not good, you know. But this is something that I appreciate so much because of Todd Phillips. I know he's trying to do more kind of DC Black Label films. Mm-hmm. I will watch those opening night because he's incredible. But it's just a phenomenal movie to me.
Yeah.
And that's why it takes my top spot.
Yeah. For me, the reason that it, you know, is as low as it is, well, but the fact is, like I started talking about, right? I had it rated as 2.5 stars on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
And that's not normally going to crack a top 10 list. But it has had that staying power in my mind where you and I will just randomly, you know, you'll come up, you know what? I've got a theory about the Joker, you know?
Yeah.
Weeks and weeks later after we've seen it. Mm-hmm. And talk about, you know, what different things in it meant.
Yeah.
My biggest negative for it is that they tied it into existing Batman continuity.
I know. I didn't like that either.
I didn't like that at all. I thought if they were going to do that, they just should have showed the guy, you know, walking down that alley. And we'd be like, oh, I know where this is going. Instead, you had to show the whole shooting and everything.
The pearls.
Yeah.
Like, come on, the pearls.
Yeah. We don't need to see that again. We've seen that in too many movies.
I wish it hadn't happened at all.
Right.
Or if they had done something different with it, as in maybe killed Bruce to imply that
it's
Thomas Wayne becomes Batman, or killed all three of them to basically tell the fans, hey, we're doing our own movie here.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I wish had happened, but you know, you can't have.
That'd be a bolder choice,
Yes.
The other thing that had this further up in my estimation was the idea of it being a one-off superhero movie, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, this is a possible Joker origin story. It stands on its own. It doesn't stand on its own anymore, right? They're going to make another movie.
I know.
And that takes something away from it.
Yeah, for sure. Me.
So, but still really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my number one is Knives Out.
Yeah.
I love a detective movie, you know, whodunit. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what this movie was about going into it.
Yeah.
I had seen a trailer for it and had some idea that there was something about an inheritance, and that was it. Mm-hmm. That was all I knew, other than the stellar cast.
I also did not know much.
Yeah.
All I knew is that the depth of this cast, I was like, how do you allow for people like, I mean, honestly, Chris Evans, Daniel Craig, Lakeith Stanfield, mm-hmm. and what was I going to say? Jamie Lee Curtis,
right.
Lady from Hereditary, I can't remember her name now.
Toni Collette.
Michael Shannon. Like, there are so many actors in there. How do you let their talent not get buried?
Right.
And everybody has kind of their moments or mm-hmm. their ability to shine through, which, you know, Rian Johnson, I've only seen a couple of his things, mm-hmm. that he did a phenomenal job making sure everyone's talent was able to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, the movie doesn't work without a couple key performances like Daniel Craig, right? If that didn't work, the movie doesn't work.
Yeah.
Anna de Armas was terrific.
She was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's been really good in several things that I've seen. And she has such expressive eyes,
mm-hmm.
And like the emotion on her face that you can see. So you can see her struggling with the whole...
Do I give the inheritance or no?
Well, not that, but like struggling with the telling... the truth or lies.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to give any of that away. Mm-hmm. The other thing I like is that in this movie, you basically know what happened. I mean, sort of.
From the very beginning.
Yeah, you know the basics of what happened, but there's other layers that get revealed
mm-hmm.
throughout the movie. And so it kept me guessing, and I wasn't totally there by the time
mm-hmm.
the reveal happened. And I think you'd still enjoy it even if you figured it out,
mm-hmm.
just because it's so quirky and so delightful and told from different perspectives.
Yeah.
And you have scenes that you come back to over and over.
From different points of view as well, I think is great. Then also, I really enjoy Chris Evans.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I actually, his outfit in the movie that he wears, I've wanted to recreate just because mm-hmm. It's super cool.
Yeah.
But then also, he's hilarious in the movie.
Yeah.
But he's also this huge jerk, which is funny to see him kind of play a villain
mm-hmm.
because he's just this kind of young jerk from the family.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're used to seeing him be this Captain America role model.
Right.
And so seeing those actors in different roles, I think is really awesome. It's something to get used to just because you see him there for so long mm-hmm. and it's hard to separate them from that. But I thought that everybody in the movie was completely different from any other role that they've done in the past.
Yeah. Cool. Let's run down our top tens, just since we did them kind of reverse order.
Yeah. Okay, so from 1 to 10.
Yeah.
I have Joker, The Art of Self-Defense, Marriage Story, Knives Out, Toy Story 4, Avengers Endgame, Shazam, John Wick 3, Richard Jewell, and El Camino.
Cool. And I had Knives Out, The Art of Self-Defense, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, John Wick 3, Shazam, Avengers Endgame, The Irishman, Uncut Gems, and Joker. So, those are our top 10 films for the year for each of mm-hmm. us. There are some that we missed. We didn't get to see The Lighthouse.
And then also Parasite, the Ford film, which we haven't gotten seen, and I've heard
once it comes,
only amazing things.
Yeah, once it's available for streaming, I think we'll check that one out.
Yeah, because I've heard only phenomenal things about it. I also, even though it comes out in January 10th, I've heard really good things about 1917.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some good movies in the next year, or at least next couple months. And so I'm hoping to see a lot more in theaters, try to ramp up how many I can see in a year.
Right. And then we'll see how many episodes we get out before you graduate.
Yeah.
Not promising anything. Look forward to our not reviewing Cats because we're not going to go see it.
Yeah. People have already seen it on the internet for us to not have to see it. But part of me also, when it comes out on Blu-ray or something, I want to rent that.
Really?
Dad, like the amount of stuff I've heard about it, I think we have to see it because it's so terrible. And I don't like musicals.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't do drugs, though, so...
That's true.
No interest in that one whatsoever. So I think we're done here. Are we done here? All right. Thank you for wrangling me into doing an episode before the end of the year.
Yeah, I made him do this episode. Let's maybe be clear.
Yes, credit. And I guess we'll wish you a happy new year, because I'll try and get this one posted before the new year. And
that will be understandable.
Yep. And we'll see what happens in 2020. Thanks, Ethan.
No problem.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.